Blog Talk Radio.
Excited to welcome you to Angel Healing House Radio. My name is Candy Hoff, and through my business, Angel Healing House, which can be found at angelhealinghouse.com, I'm a licensed healing practitioner working in the field of energy medicine as a Reiki master teacher, a quantum touch practitioner. I am an angel practitioner and an intuitive counselor. I'm also the author of an inspirational book about my two near-death experiences called Angels of Faith and the fact that as far as I'm concerned, we do not die and that we are divine and eternal. Through Angel Healing House, I help people to let go of sadness, anger, bitterness, resentment, and regret that has kept them locked in the prison of the past and kept them merely reacting to life. And I help them let go of worry, stress, and control, which has kept them focused on an imagined future, on things that haven't happened and probably won't happen. And once they are no longer living in the past or the future, they can start to live in the only moment that is available to live in, which is the nanosecond of the now. You know, it's only in the present moment where synchronicities, miracles, and magic can occur. As an angel practitioner, I help people to rise above their lives and to see it from a higher perspective, to clearly see the negative patterns and destructive habits that have caused them to sabotage and to limit their lives. I do this with the help of a very large, extraordinary group of angels who I call my posse. They have a very funny sense of humor and are extremely loving and compassionate. They give very down-to-earth, practical advice that people can very easily translate to create bliss and joy, balance and peace in their lives. You know, like my posse of angels, I am very excited to take some calls. So for free angel advice and guidance, call the show now on 646-716-6794. Again, that number is 646-716-6794. But before we take some calls for some of that angelic advice, as you regular listeners know, that I go into about the topic that for today, which is about near-death experiences and what exactly is across the veil. And I talk about that for 5 minutes. So, again, welcome everybody. As you know, last week was the start of the spring equinox. Happy spring, everyone. I really do truly hope that your spring has started to see rebirth and regrowth and regeneration in your life. You know, Angel Healing House is definitely having a rebirth with so many followers following Angel Healing House Radio. If you would like to be reminded of the shows coming up on different topics and when you can call in for your free guidance and free angel advice, you can find my photo on the Blog Talk Radio site and push the follow button underneath, and this way you can know of all of the shows coming up. The regular show is on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at 11 a.m., that's Pacific Standard Time, and there might be some special shows coming up throughout the year, so remember to push that follow button. With all this talk about renewal, what better time is it than to talk about near-death experiences? And as with so many people that have had near-death experiences, after they come back from this extraordinary experience, they do feel renewed. And I was so fortunate to have died twice in my life as I was given a glimpse of our real home in spirit. In fact, My amazing, inspirational book, Angels of Faith, is based on the wonderful journey that the angels took me on to show me the transition into spirit that we all get to take. Listeners, my book can be purchased on my website at www.angelhealinghouse.com, and that Angel Healing House is all one word. You know, on the surface, my book, Angels of Faith, is about a little girl named Faith, whose relationship with angels and an elderly friend lifts her up, and she goes on to inspire others to remember how magnificent and how beautiful they are, and to not be so afraid of the dark. She helps to instill comfort and peace and joy in others, and she provides reassurance to know that there is a greater story to be told in our existence as the book pulls back the veil on our true, divine, and limitless natures. You know, actually, the way that the book, Angels of Faith, came to me is every bit as enchanting and inspiring as the story itself. You see, it was very early morning where I was living on the beautiful Sunshine Coast in Australia, where my husband Pete and I had our beach home. This was in 2006. My eyes popped open at 5:30 in the morning. Now, listeners, you've got to understand, for me, there is no 5:30 in the morning. There's only a 5:30 at night. I'm not an early riser. Yet, when my eyes popped open, I was strangely awake and completely refreshed. I thought, you know, this gives me a great opportunity to work on my third book that I was writing at that time. So I grabbed a cup of tea, I sat before my laptop, and I tried to write, but I found myself completely blocked. Now, all of a sudden, I heard the frantic chirping of a bird. The chirping seemed to have a desperate quality to it. I thought somebody was killing the bird, and I decided to go investigate. The sound took me to our bathroom window, where I saw a little bird who had built his nest on the clothesline. As soon as he saw my face peering inches away from his nest, he locked eyes with me and continued to chirp with hysteria and even more passion. I was completely mesmerized and hypnotized by this little bird, and about 5 minutes later, he abruptly shut up, he stopped, and he just stared at me. I was so happy that the bird had quieted down, I went back to my computer to write. Yet when I put my fingers on the keys, I began to type a whole new story. Without any thought of plot, word choices, or characters, this new story flowed continuously and easily for a half an hour. When I stopped typing, I had to reread it as I had no idea what I had written. And when I read what my fingers had just typed, I cried, as the universal message in the story touched my heart so deeply. In fact, since the book's launch in 2010, I've received several magical signs how people are reacting to the universal channeled message held within. A client who bought the book in Australia soon after it was launched wrote an email to me and said how much she enjoyed the story. But she said, you know something, Candy? She said, when I got halfway through the book, she said her eyes began to well up with tears, and she got a vague remembrance of something that she'd forgotten long ago. Well, 2 days later, I had another client in Santa Barbara, and he bought 4 copies of the book for friends and family, and he called me up and said, Candy, I just had to call and congratulate you on your book. I loved it, but something strange happened. I got 3/4 of the way through the book, and my eyes started to tear up, as I got a vague remembrance of something that I'd forgotten long ago. And when I read that, when I heard that, I got chills up and down my body. And 4 days later, I heard from a gentleman in Virginia who bought the book. He worked at an old age home, and he bought the book to share with the residents. He called and said how much he liked the book, and he told me that something strange had happened, and he had gotten 3/4 of the way through the book, and he started to cry as he got a vague remembrance of something that he'd forgotten long ago. In just 5 days, from Australia to California to Virginia, and since that time, people internationally have told me Angels of Faith has provided them with a gentle reminder that we are all born as a spark of God, and it helps people to wake up, to remember, and to feel what that feels like, which is our divine, eternal nature. So, once again, if you'd like to purchase a copy of Angels of Faith, this held within it, this universal divine message which is touching hearts internationally, please go to my website, www.angelhealinghouse.com. You'll find that. You'll also find my angel guided angel meditation CD, Letting Go of Concerns and Living in the Now, which is a channeled meditation professionally recorded with music and sound effects and angels' voices to take you on a journey of remembrance and also letting go of those things that are keeping you from being in touch with your heart and the angels. But before I share with you about my actual near-death experiences beyond this physical dimension, I'd like to go to the switchboard and take some of those free calls for angel guidance, which are holding on so patiently. So, hello, Kathy, you are on with Angel Healing House. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am very well. How have you been since we spoke last?
I don't think we haven't talked yet.
Oh, we haven't talked yet. Oh, okay.
This is my first time calling.
Oh, your first time calling. Actually, your call sign is very similar to another caller. So, welcome to Angel Healing House. Where are you calling from?
Maryland.
You're calling from Maryland. I have two brothers in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, we're in Maryland.
Annapolis.
Annapolis. I've been to Annapolis. It's such a pretty area. What's your question today, Kathy?
I was just wondering if you can give me an angel message.
Okay. The posse, my angelic family, who I am part of and who I work with, they like it best when you can be a little bit more specific about an area in your life. Because oftentimes when we have concerns or we have, something that we would like to find out more about, once we hone in on one or two areas, then the rest of our lives seem to flow with greater ease and grace.
Okay. I guess I'm trying to be more spiritual, and I haven't seemed to be able to break through yet.
Okay. All right. Even before I pull any cards, I know what they're going to tell me. The first thing that helps us to be spiritual is to, and this goes for everybody out there, is to celebrate who you are. Okay. Take the time out in your everyday to emotionally nourish and nourish who Kathy is. What makes you joyful? What gives you bliss? If I was to ask you in any given week what you would do to emotionally nourish exactly who you are, authentically are, what would you tell me that you do?
Make jewelry, read. I like to go boating.
Okay. Read, boating. Okay. When you do those, how do you feel when you're doing them?
Happy.
Okay, you feel happy, you feel joyful. Do you get a feeling like you've lost all track of time?
Yes.
Okay. They want you to settle in to that more. And do you meditate?
Not enough.
Okay. The thing with meditation, and that's why I produced my angel, guided angel meditation, Letting Go of Concerns and Living in the Now, because when we call it, a lot of people get tripped up, Kathy, on the whole thing about meditation, because there are so many ways and techniques to meditate. A lot of people say, there's a right way or a wrong way to do it, but there is no right or wrong way. Meditation, for me, is not even so much about quieting the mind, but it's all about honoring who Kathy is. Listeners, honoring yourself. So you get yourself in a reflective, quiet space. Some people light candles, some people light incense. You don't need any of that. Some people have crystals to raise the vibrations.
Right.
you need to get yourself in a quiet space, turn the phones off, even tell the people in the house that, you know, that you, maybe the people that you're living with or whatever, that, that I don't want to be disturbed for the next half an hour, and sit down there and sit down and honor exactly who you are. One of the great mantras that I have taught my students, or introduced my students to, because I teach Reiki on all levels, is for them to say, I am that I am, and that's all that I am. I do not have to produce or create anything in order to be divine and eternal. Divineness and in my eternal nature, this is my inherent nature. I am a child of God, and just by being who I am, I'm allowed to shine. I am enough, and all I need to do is be. And once you've said that, you can say it once, you can say it several times. If you want, Kathy, you can send me an email, and other listeners, if you want me to send you that lovely saying that kind of just brings us all back to our center, and our center is that place where we know we're divine. We know we're abundant. We know that everything happens for our highest good. We know that everything happens in divine timing, and we know that the universe is always working on the details of our lives. Once this reflective silence, time of silence, once we bring ourselves back to that line of consciousness and connectivity, then it feels so good. It just feels so wonderful. And the more, it's funny thing, a lot of people ask me, how do I meditate and how long do I meditate? Because I do this with every thought that I have, every word that I speak, and every feeling in my heart, and I've been practicing it for so long, every breath I take and every space between breaths becomes a meditation. And so I'm living that in every moment of my life. But that doesn't happen until you you put your focus and attention on honoring yourself. So I would say that's probably the greatest thing that you can do for yourself to bring you back to that that remembrance of I am divine. I am spiritual already, because, Kathy, what you're searching for, you are already. You just okay. have you've gotten off track to remember it.
Right. Okay.
So I hope that's been helpful to you. And if you want me to send you that,
email you.
Okay,
I'll look at your meditation also.
That would be wonderful. Again, it's called Letting Go of Concerns and Living in the Now, and it's just an absolutely beautiful channeled CD, professionally recorded with music and angels' voices and sound effects. And people have told me with this meditation, and I recorded it several years ago, that when they listen to it, it's like all their cares seem to melt away. They come back to that line knowing that they are divine, and they really don't have to do anything to be divine. They are that already.
Okay.
All right. So it was wonderful speaking with you. I look so forward to getting your email. And just remind me in the email about the I am that I am little saying, and I'll send that to you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Have a lovely, lovely day. Bye.
You too.
And that, it's amazing. It's amazing when I set a topic. It's not amazing, actually, but when I set a topic and the posse of angels say, okay, you build it and they will come. You tell us what the topic is and we will send you people. We will send you people to confirm and to enhance that topic. And, you know, sort of this call from Kathy helped us realize that there really is nothing that we have to do, we should do, we're supposed to do, but by sitting down and just reaffirming and honoring and affirming to the universe, I am that I am enough, I am a child of God, and I am allowed to shine. then we get back on that line of truth, and all those worries do seem to melt away. Going to the switchboard now, let's go to our 904 number. 904, you're on the line with Angel Healing House. Who am I on the line with?
This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida. I spoke with you last week, I believe it was.
That's right. Yes, I do remember.
Uh-huh. And I was sitting, applying for jobs, and I wanted to hear some sweet words while I was talking to you, or listening to you, rather, so I can keep my focus and believe that I'm going to get a job that I'm applying for.
Right. And how have you felt the last week by doing those things?
I'm just saying, today I am sitting applying for jobs, and when I saw you were on air, I want to be in a positive atmosphere, because your show was beautiful last week.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know what? When you're applying for that job, all you need to do is keep affirming to yourself, I am that I am, and that's all that I am. I am enough. It's not whether you get the job or not, Sarah. Because everything, I can't stress this enough to the listeners out there. Everything happens for our highest good. So, if you do get this job, it's meant there for your highest good, and you will bring to yourself people that will help you along the way. It will bring you opportunities for you to be able to grow and to use your talents and your gifts. If you do not get the job, people don't understand this. It's not a bad thing. It's the universe is going to block it because something better is out there for you.
I think you were talking along that same line last week, so that's why I was led to, tune in with you again, because you just said, I am, and I was listening on a show with Bethesda Dorrell, and that's mm-hmm. what he said. I was on the prayer call this morning, and the pastor said something about Jesus said, I am that I am. So now I'm coming back to you in the afternoon, and you were talking about I am that I am. So, you don't have to hit me in the head three times.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. If you need the information, the universe will never give up on us, Sarah. And, people think, oh, I missed the boat, I missed the sign. You never miss a sign, because the universe loves us so much and wants us, to live in that state of ease and grace, that it will always present us with things over and over and over again. And by you hearing those words, I am that I am, and that's all that I am, all I need to do is do my best and leave the rest. And by doing that, then you live in a state of grace, knowing that all you are is pure intention. The universe knows that you want abundance in your life. But unless you really feel that I am in your heart, unless you feel that energy that will start to go out, and that energy is one of abundance, then it will start to open doors for you on abundance coming in. So Ed, don't ever get yourself in a position where you think that if you don't get the job, you're going to be in lack.
I'm going to have to listen to this in the archives over and over, because I've got to retrain my mind.
And you know what? So many of us, and including me until the penny dropped, so many of us have been programmed that life is supposed to be hard. We have to push. We just have to try harder. When in actual fact, yes, we do have to make movement to our dreams and our goals, but it doesn't have to be hard. It truly doesn't have to be hard. And if something doesn't work out, A, it doesn't mean that it will never work out, and B, if it doesn't work out, it always doesn't work out because it's for our highest good, and the universe will say to us, well, it's A, because something better will come along, or B, it's not the right timing.
Amen. And you know that saying about, I'm not sure if I'm using the right percentage, but, you know, 90% of what we worry about doesn't happen. So,
oh,
you
know
why
what? Not only that, Sarah, but I got to tell you, and this is coming from if there were a queen of worrying for 48 years, I would have been at the top. I would have been at the top of that heap, because I kept on saying that, you know, things don't work out for me, you know, how is it possible that I could ever have this, you know, miss low self-worth. And when I started changing all of this and realizing that the universe was always working in my favor, then things truly started to turn around for me. So it's amazing when you start to retrain yourself, three or four most important points that if I could just get you, I mean, do you have a pen to write these down?
I do. Let me just take this thing off my lap. And I always keep a pen.
Okay, listeners, if you got a pen too, if not, you can,
yes.
If you're driving,
no.
Don't write anything
mm-hmm.
down. But if you're in the,
no.
you know, you can go back in the archives and listen. The first thing, please write this down, is that
okay. Everything
happens for our highest good. You know, I was on a radio show once, and they were looking for a relaxation therapist. Anyway, this is a long story, but they said there's horrible traffic in our little town, which a highway's gone through, and now everybody is having road rage and blah, blah, blah. Now they have to wait in traffic. How would you get them to relax because of the horrible traffic? And I said, first of all, I said, the traffic is not horrible. The traffic is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's your perception of it, whether it's horrible or not, which makes it horrible. I said, if you have to be held in traffic for 10 minutes, because if you were further 10 minutes down the road, a truck would have crossed an intersection and totaled you, I said, it brings you back to everything happens for our highest good. So accept what you brought to yourself. Bless it, acknowledge it, and thank it in order to realize that you brought it to yourself through your vibrations and energies. Okay, the second one is, and my gosh, if everybody could just understand this, abundance is our nature. Whether you have 2 cents in your bank account or whether you have $200 million in your bank account, you are still divine. You are still inherently eternal, and you have every facility at your fingertips to create financial wealth in your life. Because abundance is your nature, and you will always be provided for.
Okay.
Always, and if you really settle into that, with all of your fiber in your being, then this abundance, this energy will come out, and because the universal laws of attraction, it will start to be like a beacon, and it will start to bring you back abundance into your life. And there will be no feelings of low self-worth, about not having enough or not wanting, because you will put your focus on, I have everything that I need. You know, all those affirmations that we say, you know, the universe is always working in my favor. I am wealthy, I am prosperous, but we don't just say them, Sarah, we feel them with our heart. And the third one is, wherever you are, you're meant to be there. Okay, listeners? Now, some people say, oh, I'm in an abusive relationship, and oh, I'm in debt, and oh, I'm in horrible health, and oh, so how can you say I'm always where I'm meant to be? Well, The reason you're always where you're meant to be is because you wouldn't be there unless your thoughts, your words, and the feelings in your heart, that energy, would not have brought you to that place. So once you accept that you might have a compromised life because you have compromised your life in the past, then by acknowledging that, then you understand how powerful that you are and that you can go on to manifest a not compromised life for yourself, a life of wholeness, a life of peace, a life of joy, you know, anything opposite to what you have experienced. And the fourth is, and this is a major one, and if we could just let go of this one, then all control would just melt away from our lives, just like an ice cream cone in the summertime. Everything happens in divine timing. Now, how many times, listeners, and how many times, Sarah, have you been in a position where something hasn't happened? And we say, oh, if only that would have happened, you know, if only. But we have such limited physical sight, and the angels and God have to have limitless sight into what they see, and they say, okay, it hasn't happened yet, because further down the road, when it does happen, it's going to happen in so much better, so many better circumstances. And how many times in retrospect has something happened where we've said to ourselves, you know, it's so good that this didn't happen a year ago. You're laughing. And we've all been in that situation. Thank God that didn't happen. Or thank God I didn't leave that person then. Or thank God, because I didn't have all the information. And now things are so much clearer that they happened later on. So, again, that fourth one is everything happens in divine timing. If we could just understand that these are all universal laws that we have been given as spirits when we came in to play this human game. And if we can just understand this, then we let go of any kind of control, because all we are is pure intention. That's all we are. We intend something in our heart, but in order for it to come in, we have to let go of always telling the universe how and when it comes in, because that's not our providence. The details, God is in the details. We don't have any control over that whatsoever. And for it to occur in the most beneficial way in our lives, then we have to let go and really let the angels and God bring it to us in the most extraordinary way. And how many times have we tried to push round pegs into square holes, saying, it's got to happen this way, it's got to happen that way? I mean, I'm laughing because that was my life before. And and certainly all I got was a lot of hardship and a lot of heartache.
Okay.
So,
do you think clutter prevents things from coming through? You know, if
gosh, now that could be another 10 shows. I mean, I'm not a feng shui expert. Certainly, I'm not another, but I know that because of the universal laws of attraction, Sarah, that clutter in your home, clutter in your car, clutter in your closets, wherever there's clutter, because we are all energy, we feel so much better when things are ordered, when we have space, when we have room to breathe, and when things are, I'm not talking about, you know, everything to be, you know, like, you know, if something is in its place, it doesn't need to be moved, but the more that we can have things, you know, with space around them, with light and order in our lives, the more we're clear in our spaces, the more clear we are in our mind. Often I say to my clients who live in absolute disarray and disorganization, it's because they're disorganized inside, and vice versa. So our outside reality reflects what's going on inside.
Okay.
So I would start to have a garage sale. I would start to, you know, sort of go to Target or whatever, or one of those stores, buy some plastic bins, and this would help all listeners to go through the home. Spring cleaning is the best time for this. You know, with the warmer weather, open up the windows, let the air come in, put on some beautiful music while you do it. Don't see it as a chore. See it as every time we get rid of something, we open up the door for something new to come in. And you know, sort of, you know, maybe get three of those plastic bins, and one is to have a garage sale, one is for Goodwill, and one, or Salvation Army, or the St. Vinny's Brotherhood, or whatever it is, and the other is to give away to friends and family. And by doing that, you know, then we're with each piece of paper, with each, you know, old thing, with each, whatever it is, each time we give away, we open up space for the new to come in.
Okay.
So that would be a wonderful thing. So thank you for that. And that's one of the ways we spiritually give to ourselves. So, the previous caller, Kathy, was bringing up, you know, how to be more spiritual. Where the more we let go of, the more spiritual we become. It's not to say that, you know, that you can't be spiritual if you have material things in your life and you own beautiful things. That's not it. But it's about being more uncluttered. You become clear in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to work on this one room today then.
And, so no, that's true. It's true. People, you know, start to say, "Oh, okay, yeah, but there's too much." You know, they start doing it, and then they just lose their puff because they, you know, their enthusiasm, because then they see the whole job. All we can take is one baby step at a time, and you go, "Okay, I'm just going to take this room, and I'll do this room." And when that room is done, then you go on to the next one, and amazing, with each baby step, at the end of it, you'll have an uncluttered house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope that's been helpful to you.
Yes, ma'am. You have an angel message for me today.
Okay, let's see. The angel message is... Oh, the angel... Okay, one thing that they're saying here is they love the idea of you bringing in more light and more joy to the space in which you live in. So they like, they're saying, please do step forward and take action to unclutter your life. A lot of times people feel suspended in their lives. Maybe they haven't had a lot of fruition when it comes to relationships or career that nourish them. And they feel like they're on hold, or you know, they're like the word they're using is suspension. It's because once you start clearing out your life and taking action towards that, and honoring and respecting your environment in which you live in, then the world will start to honor you, and then you will hold the world in your hand, and you'll feel like you're the princess or the queen, and being able to dictate to the world rather than the world dictating to you.
Okay.
So there you
All
go.
Right. All
so,
right. Thank you.
Be blessed, Sarah, and thank you so much for your call today. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you. I'll continue to listen, please.
Okay. Thanks. Tell lots of people.
All right.
Okay. Bye, sweetie. And that was a beautiful call. Thank you so much, Sarah, for telling us and reminding us to celebrate who we are. And I loved about cleaning out our environments to make us feel more cleansed and cleared and nourished and to feel more centered. Especially, as I said to Sarah, in this time of spring, why do you think they call it spring cleaning? Because it's about rebirth, regrowth, and it's all about that. I do want to tell my listeners about my first near-death experience, and my I had two, but my first near-death experience happened when I was 5 years old. You see, listeners, I was playing during my kindergarten recess, and I was about 5 years old, and as usual, I was playing by myself by the fence, but I was literally playing with my invisible friends. You see, as a young child, I was clairvoyant, and I could see very clearly angels and fairies, and I used to tell lots of people about them, but, you know, I wasn't very supported. My family and other people said I just had an overactive imagination. Anyway, as recess was over, the bell started to ring to alert us to line up by the flagpole. Now, in those days, kindergarten and playground security wasn't very, very stringent as it is in today's day, because the flagpole was in a concrete block. Now, as an added incentive for the class to hurry up and get in line, the teacher would always make fun of the last person to get in line and call them a slowpoke. Now, wanting not to be called a slowpoke, I ran very quickly to get into line, and I cut in front. I cut in front of one of the children, and there was gravel near the flagpole, and my feet came out from under me, and I fell forward, and I hit my head on the concrete corner of that flagpole. Immediately, I crumpled to the ground, and suddenly, I heard a strange whirring sound. It sounded like 100 bees were in my head, like I then rose above my body, and I looked down at my body, which can be very disconcerting, even when you're an adult. But as a child, I knew what I looked like, but I was above myself looking down. And in that realization, I felt like I was being tugged. And I let go of the tug, and I found myself in what looked like a dark tunnel. And suddenly, as a child, I was so afraid of the dark. And there came a bright light shining at the end of the tunnel. And I felt like something suddenly picked me up and started to move me rapidly towards that light. And then the closer I got to the light, everything started to be bathed in that white light. Now, walking towards me out of the light was my grandmother, Clara. And even though I never met her, because my grandmother died when my own mother was 2.5 years of age, I instantly recognized her, and I felt so safe and totally loved. We hugged each other, and she motioned me to kneel down on what looked like a cloud and had me look and peer over the edge. Well, looking down, I saw lots of people surrounding a little girl who was crumpled unconscious on the ground next to a flagpole, concrete block, and blood was there on the ground around her head. I thought how kind everyone was to help that poor little girl, and I snuggled into my grandmother's side, thinking, well, I'm safe and protected. Looking at me with great love, my grandmother, Clara, spoke in a very sweet yet firm voice. She said, "Claire Candy, it's not your time to come to us yet." On hearing those words, I felt a sinking pain in my heart, knowing that I would not be allowed to remain in heaven. My grandmother leaned over, and she kissed me on the forehead, and in that moment, immediately, I woke up in the doctor's office as the last stitches were being sewn into my forehead. Now, although I told my mom about my visit to heaven and grandmother Clara, the experience was dismissed as a case of, you know, being bumped on the head, and yet again as my overactive imagination. And yet, there was something strange when I came back that could not be dismissed. When I came back, I could play the piano, and I had not been able to play the piano before I had the experience. You know, my experience of being able to play a musical instrument was similar to the research findings carried out by one of the world's leading researchers of near-death phenomenon, and her name is Dr. P.M.H. Atwater. She had three near-death experiences herself, And for the past 43 years, Dr. Atwater has conducted almost 10,000 case studies on people who have had this near-death experience. And especially with children, her research showed that even though the average near-death experiencer is without vital signs for between 5 to 20 minutes, sometimes these people have died for close to an hour. And when I'm talking about death, I'm talking about their not breathing, number one. Number two is their heart is not beating. And number three is the brain has shown signs of flatlining. These people literally come back smarter than they were before. Her research shows that after a near-death experience, she said that 48% of the children between the ages of birth and 15 that she'd researched came back showing signs of being at a genius level, this average IQ of being between 150 and 160, where there were no signs previously of any genetic, parental, or academic markers to account for their genius levels. Now, in this subgroup of children between the ages of 3 to 5 years of age, the numbers at genius level jumped to 81%. In fact, she said that the younger the child, the more apt they are to have an extreme jump in intelligence. 80% of the children who had near-death experiences came back being able to play a musical instrument where none existed before, and in many cases, they came back in speaking a foreign language, which was very different from their nationality and their culture, but they could speak this language beautifully. And in many cases, there were children who came back and spoke about a time where they lived before, or they knew another country so intimately that they could, and they'd never been before, and they could tell you the streets and the locations and the names of people who had lived there. You know, with these things that happened, Dr. PMH Atwater says, with this marked restructuring of the brain, how are these things possible? She said, and she's adamant, as I am, having experienced this, that her research provides concrete evidence that the mind and the brain are two separate things. Now, another interesting aspect to note from her research on young children was that consistent explanations about their experiences was they mentioned a tunnel, a dark place. They mentioned a bright white light. They mentioned being welcomed by God. They mentioned seeing dead relatives. In most of all the cases, these children had not been introduced to any of their concepts, yet the details of their recollections were alarmingly similar. Well, this was very much the case when I had my second dance with death, when I drowned when I was almost 15 years of age. I was holidaying with my friends, and with my best girlfriend and my family in Montauk, Long Island, and my parents had a luncheon to go to at the local country club, and they told us don't go swimming except because of the storms that were coming in. And, of course, when they left, what does a typical teenager do? They go swimming. And so we found ourselves in the stormy ocean, and I went out too far, and I turned my back on the ocean to talk to my girlfriend who was on the shore or scream out to her because it was such a rough surf, and I didn't see that there was a wave that crested behind me, and it came down upon me, and it just squashed and crashed down, crushed all the life out of me. I lost consciousness, and I rose above my body again, and I gazed down at my body in the surf, and I felt that familiar tugging once again, which sucked me into the tunnel. And I let go to it, and I found myself being lifted along to that white light. Well, as I came out of that white light, there to meet me were my the first thing that came to meet me was an angel, and the angel said, "We're so happy that you came back. Come, we want to take you on a beautiful journey." And immediately, what appeared in front of me was a beautiful garden, a rose garden with, and my favorite flower is a rose, and my favorite color is pink. And there was, as far as the eye can see, a beautiful rose garden, and from a behind a some trees came and walked to me both sets of my grandparents who had died. Now, they didn't look dead. They were so alive, and we hugged and we kissed each other, and it was loving, a beautiful reunion. But not only that, I'd grown up on a farm, and a couple of times, you know, one of my dogs got hit by a tractor and died. A fox got one of the cats, and there were my pets, and they were very much alive, and they certainly didn't look dead. I had this beautiful reunion with my family, and then the angel came to me and said, come. We must go, and we must then go and go to the Hall of Justice. And immediately when the angel told me this, my feet were on white marble as I looked up, and it was appeared to me like a Greek or a Roman temple. And as I walked up, the angel said to me, everyone has to go in and review their life on their own. And as I walked in, I sat on a bench, and holographically, magically, my life, from the time that I was born until the time that I died, started to show like a film before me. And I saw every time that I did a kindness to somebody, every time that I was sweet and loving, I felt what that other person felt as a result of my kindness. But sometimes I would lie, and sometimes I was mean, and I also felt what that other person felt as a result of my being mean or lying. And so I reviewed my whole life, and after that was finished, I went outside, rejoined my angel, and the angel said to me, now we have to go to the Hall of Akashic Records, the Hall of Wisdom. Immediately, my feet were on white marble, and I looked up at this beautiful Greek Roman temple. As I walked in into the temple, there was a group of 12 very wise, sage-looking people, and they said, hello, it's nice to have you back. You're early. Let's review your life. And they took my book of life, they opened up the book of my life, and they reviewed the contract, and they said, well, you're back early, but you're going back, aren't you? And I realized that I had a choice whether I was going to go back or not. And I said, no, I don't want to go back. And they said, hold on. And they pointed to my contract. They said, look, there's a marriage here. If you don't go back, then you won't get married. And I looked at them and I said, I don't care. I don't want to go back. And then they got a bit flustered, this group of 12 very wise-looking masters. And they said, but if you don't go back, look, there are children there. These children won't be born. And I said, I don't care. I don't want to go back. And then they put their heads together and they said, if you don't go back, this is going to kill your parents, and they will never be the same. And I thought, listeners, for a long time, and I thought, I must go back. I must go back and rejoin that human physical part of me. And so they signed my contract, I signed my contract, and then I went back, and I woke up in the surf, as I was throwing up very large amounts of seawater. I was very much alive, and I remembered the journey that the angels took me on, that we all get to take as we transition from our physical form into spirit. You know, everybody will get to have a homecoming experience. This is and meet those deceased relatives that have crossed over. This is not to condemn or condone what you did on earth. It's just to applaud you for choosing to experience life in duality, life on the earth plane. And it's such a wonderful thing to be reunited with those souls and have that homecoming party, that reunion just for you. And your pets and all things. And you will realize when crossing over from the physical to the spiritual is going home to our natural state. And I often say to people, if you expect to die when you die, boy, will you be ever so disappointed. I could extend this really into another program as we're coming to the 5 minute mark. of the almost the end of the show. I think I will go on with my next program because, you know, every culture talks about the eternal, the afterlife. Every religion, every culture, every that we are divine, that we are eternal, the signs and the markers are there for us just to reconnect with and acknowledge and respect and honor the physical, but to realize there is something so much grander outside of ourselves. I always love to say, you know, when someone does cross over, when someone dies, a cloud turns into an angel and flies up to tell God to put another flower on the earth. A bird gives a message back to the world and sings a silent prayer that makes the rain cry. It's not crying so much in sadness, but crying in joy. When people disappear, they never, ever, ever go away. The spirits across the veil, they put the sun to bed. They wake up the grass. They spin the earth in dizzy circles. We are all one. Sometimes you can see them dancing in clouds during the daytime when they're supposed to be sleeping. They paint the rainbows. They also paint the sunset. They make waves splash. They make the wind touch gently on our skins and tug at our sides. They toss shooting stars, and they listen. They listen intently to all our prayers and our wishes. So don't miss them too much because they never left you, and they are always there. I'd like to thank all my callers today, of course, my listeners as well, and please call in next time. Please remember, do not put your emphasis on how or when you will die, but put your emphasis and your passion and your joy and your grand excitement on how you are going to live until then. And know that if you have had somebody that crosses over, they are always with you in every thought you have, in every beating of your heart. And that just about wraps up the show today. So, don't forget that Angel Healing House Radio airs every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like to receive my inspirational, uplifting, and entertaining Angel Healing House newsletter, please email me and send me your request to candy@angelhealinghouse.com. Also, to purchase a copy of my inspirational book based on those two near-death experiences, Angels of Faith, and my beautiful guided meditation CD, Letting Go of Concerns and Living in the Now, please go to the Angel Healing House website, angelhealinghouse.com. And if you'd like to book your own transformative angel intuitive counseling and Reiki healing session and get full angel readings, full hour angel readings, either in person or nationally and internationally using distant healing, this can be done over the phone or computer using Skype, please call me on 831-277-3716 or email me at candy@angelhealinghouse.com. You know, until next time, everyone, allow your radiant light to shine and to fashion an absolute beautiful life for yourself. Love and blessings to you all. Have a beautiful, beautiful spring week until we meet again. And to go out there and to declutter and to, in order to allow for your own rebirth and regrowth to happen. So once again, love and blessings to you all. Take care. Bye-bye.